Levi. Well, if you're newer here today, your first time, man, you came, you've picked a unique time to come your first time. Back probably every time you come is a unique time, first time. But you've caught us just at the very end of a four-month journey that we've gone on, where we've kind of been asking God, God, what would you have me give above and beyond what I regularly give? And I went through a three-step process: surrender, bring all the stuff up on the table, listen, God, you want anything back, and then doing it. And we're going to just kind of slow things down a little bit here today. And we have been like 6,000 RPMs going, whee! You know, people volunteering and serving and challenging and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And right now it's really important that whenever God does something big in your personal life or in the church life, you have to have a time where you just sit back and say, all right, what just happened? What just happened? And we're going to do that today. From a financial standpoint, what just happened is actually a little different than that number you just saw up. Commitments are still coming in. We're going to talk in a few weeks about exactly what we're going to do, what the project is going to look like. Some people are saying, well, what about, do we have enough for Moser Dodge and all that? Don't know yet. We're still kind of waiting to see how all that trickles together. But numbers, people have been still giving commitments. Actually, right now, the number stands at $25.1 million is what it sits at right now. Fun stuff. Very, very, very fun. This is, you know, not about the money. It's about a lot of other things that God has been doing in our midst. And so today we're going to look at those things and see what God has given us. Because actually we've given up a lot of things. We sacrificed a lot. But true to God's form, what he does is he gives to us. And we talked about emptying our coat and putting everything on the table. And God has actually put some stuff back into us that we're going to talk about today. And so let's pray before we go any further. God, thank you for times like this, to be able to sit back and take a deep breath and just reflect on what you've done and what we've learned over the last 3 to 4 months. And I pray that you'd help my words to make sense and you'd help our hearts to be soft and pliable before you. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, six things I think that God has built into us and taught us. There's probably a heck of a lot more, but here's six things I've noticed. I've been talking with other people in our church. They're all crazy things too. What's crazy is one thing is that it's crazy that we expect the crazy from God. What's crazy is we expect the crazy from God. I've talked with a few people who've been around Crossroads for, you know, several years, and they said when those placards came up on stage, they were kind of bummed because they kind of took a look at how many people committed to leadership events and trying to did some math, and they thought it was going to be a heck of a lot larger number. And actually, I had done some of that math myself. I tried not to do any of that math. I actually did do some of that math. When I first found the number and I was in the back room, you know, I had to take a couple minutes to just kind of put it in perspective. Because most of us here, or a lot of us here, unlike last campaign that we had 1,500 people who had been a part of the church for a while because we were capped out and no one could grow at all. We couldn't add new people. And it takes a while for people to have a sense of trust. And in this place, actually, you introverts are going to hate this, but if you've been here a year or less, would you just raise your hand, please? 1 year or less. Hello. There's probably more of you as well. It takes a while for someone who's newer to truly engage. In fact, I talked with some people who didn't really engage in the last one. They got one of the rare seats, and this time they fully engaged. Well, here's what's crazy about it. What's crazy is we have the audacity to think it could have been better. That's what's crazy. That's crazy. And you know what? That is a fantastic thing. May we never, ever, ever stop thinking the craziness for God. May we never, ever, ever think that God can't do something that exceeds our wildest imaginations. The fact of the matter is, this exceeds our wildest imaginations. Completely. We had a group come in who's worked with thousands of churches across the United States, helped us structure our campaign. They also took a look at our books and everything, and they tried to give us a projection based on all the churches they've worked with, how much they thought people would raise, and the number they gave us. And we never told you this number, by the way. We never told you this number because that's what fundraising does. We never put a thermometer up on the stage and stuck this number up there. We just never did that. But the number they said, if we had a killer campaign, it would be $14 million. We had back-to-back campaigns. Yeah, you can clap. If there's anything you're excited about, you can still clap. It is unbelievable for us to generate all of us in a willful, loving expression without anybody, you know, telling us this is what you have to do to do that. And especially in back-to-back campaigns. It's crazy. In fact, so much so that this is one of the things that God has taught us. He's taught us the reason the price teacher is what he's given us. This is like one of the greatest things around, Plato. You have to totally dig Plato. Thing about Plato is you just love playing with him. When you take Plato and you put it here, what does it do? Nothing. Zero. Nada. Freebie. Nothing. It does absolutely nothing. It just sits right there. And this is what we have to recognize, is that what's happened in this campaign, it is miraculous, it is crazy, and it is only because God has had his hands on this. We have to be very, very careful that we don't sit back and say, wow, you know, we worked so hard, look what we did, we did, look what we did. There's a level of satisfaction you can always get when you see that God uses you, but we have to always remember that all that is crazy, all that is incredible is God, not us. In fact, this is one of the things that the early church leaders said to people, the Apostle Paul, he said this about God, in him we live and move and have our being. They said, it is God. All that happens because God is using us. And it is in God that the power comes, that the craziness comes. And apart from God, when God removes himself from us, or we try to remove ourselves from God, there is no power, there's no movement, nothing happens. And what happened in our church, what's happening is a miracle. It is a bona fide miracle. It is amazing. And it is because we're in the hands of God. Actually, this is kind of, it's got little footprint thingies here. I like this, you know? Kind of little footprints. Like that. You know, actually, this right here, this is exactly what our church is like right now. God's footprints are all over this place. All over this place. The prayer event, many of you who are volunteers worked hard to do, was one of probably my favorite thing of what happened in the midst of the campaign. I came in, I did a few different times when I came in. I'll never forget the first time I came in, I think it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I came in the doors, and I come into these doors all the time. Every day I come into these doors almost. I came in, and you could just smell God. I don't know exactly what God smells like, but he smells like what the building smelled like that day. Those of you who are here, you know what I'm talking about. You walked in, and there was, for lack of a better term, a spiritual thickness about the place. It was like the Spirit of God was just hovering all throughout this place. And it reminded me, this is about what God is doing. We can pull off as many events as we want to, get as many volunteers, have many videos, but if God isn't in the place, if God isn't moving in and through us and giving us being, nothing happens. And what's happening here is happening from God, period. And we can't be tempted to take any of his credit, any of his glory. It's about what he is doing. And we've learned that because he has done in this place what no group of people could ever do. We've learned that. And it's awesome to expect the great things from God. Second thing is that we've learned that blessing people brings blessings. Blessing people brings blessings. We've had three financial principles by which we've run the finance of our church for the last 8 years. Principle number one is bless people. We want to be about blessing people any way we can. We want to be about blessing people. Well, I have had a lot of people go, oh man, you know, how much money are we, you know, spending the campaign? Or we're giving people all these meals. Why are we giving people meals and all this? And, you know, that's all money could go like to whatever. No, that's all money that can go to bless people. It's all money that can go to help and facilitate the spiritual journey. Did you enjoy this thing? How many of you were here last week got this little CD? Have you enjoyed this thing? Has that been a cool deal? My CD player, my laser on my CD player has like been burning the ink off of this thing. It's like been on nonstop repeat. Some people with very good intentions said, hey, I got a great fundraising idea. How about if the band cuts a CD and then we sell the CD and kind of give the proceeds? And we said, we got a better idea. How about we cut the CD and then give it away? What if we do that? Because see, here's the way God's local church is designed to work. It's not designed to work through fundraising gimmicks. We've never done that. We'll never do that. It's not the way God has designed the church to operate. It's for the generous, willing tithes and offerings of the people who go there. And what the church has to do in relationship with that is to be a blessing to people. And so we don't look around here of money that we're spending that could go elsewhere. We say, well, how are we spending money that's going to bless people and facilitate this journey? And it's come back to us. God, that's one of the reasons I think that God has got so many blessings on this place. By the way, a lot of you have asked, Erwin McManus, who spoke, he was on that screen. He was at the leadership event that some of us went to, and someone said, "Hey, can I hear what he said?" Yes, you can. In fact, when you leave here today, you can get a Erwin McManus CD. We'll hand those out to you as you walk out the doors. If you were there, you weren't there. You just got to listen to that. It's awesome, awesome stuff. This is blessing people goes to the core of who God is. If you take a look at all the different communities in the Bible, one of the significant communities, if not the most significant community in the Bible, is the nation of Israel. If you take a look at the marching orders that God gave Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish people, we learn something about how God works in communities. Let's take a look at this. Genesis 12. Here's what he says to Abraham. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." This is not just a prediction of what Israel was to be, but God speaks things that through our faithfulness they will come to bear. And this is a core value that God gives the nation of Israel through Abraham. Says one of your core values, one of the hills you should die on, is you're going to be a blessing. You should be a blessing. All nations should be blessed as a result of you. Now I'm going to skate on some thin ice for a moment, so please, you know, just relax. One of the reasons, just one, there's a lot of reasons, but I believe one of the reasons why Israel has had regular turmoil, and specifically in biblical times, is because the nation of Israel has never been a blessing to other nations. That's how God designed the nation of Israel to be. One of the reasons why churches are very, very frustrating places is because oftentimes churches are not blessings to the communities in which they reside. How many communities across world history and across America would say, we're thankful for that local church being there. Most local churches, there's something like a place where all the weird people go and withdraw from society. You know, or a place where all the people who are moralists withdraw and they take their hand grenades and pull the pins and lob them at everybody who doesn't do what they do. Or does do things that they don't do. They get their little holy huddle. Or churches tend to be places where everyone comes and they fight about, well, this is what I want to have happen in a Sunday service. This is what I want to have happen. Or a place where there's a political block is formed. Or a place where there might be some cause for some of those things sometimes based on the season. But how many people would say that church is a blessing? And that's the way churches need to be. They need to be in cities and people who go there and people who don't go there and go, man, I don't understand a place. But man, I'm so glad that they're there. So glad that they're having an impact. I think one of the reasons why God is blessing us right now is because we have an attitude of blessing, and we need to always maintain that in our personal lives, in our church life. Third thing that we've seen that God has given us is he's given us reinforcement on the reality that where God guides, God provides. Where God guides, God provides. These are some building plans for what we're doing here at 3500 Madison. Well, there's also plans for what we're doing over in South Africa, the AIDS Hospice. There's also, you know, stuff for the website, crazychurch.com, to help and bless other churches. We're also plans that we have for building an infrastructure to help serve the poor in the city of Cincinnati. But you know what is really maddening about these things especially is I have a guy who's actually on the Green Post. That I put his name there years ago, and he is now part of the design build team that's been helping design the building for this property because he's got some unique construction experience and stuff like that. And it's very interesting. He's a very, I don't know how to describe him, very newbie as it comes to spirituality, as it comes to Christ. So he comes from a real business conservative perspective, and it's been interesting watching how he's processed this thing and all of us around the table. Do you know how maddening it is to design a building you have no money for? Do you have any idea how maddening it is? Do you have any idea what it's like to go and hire an architect, hire a contractor, and you tell them, and we have no money? Do you have any idea how maddening that is? Do you have any idea how maddening it is to say to God, that's actually second principle, base your budget not based on what you think you have, but based on what you think God wants to do. You have any idea how maddening it is to just say, God, what do you want us to do in South Africa? What do you want us to do for other churches? What do you want us to do as far as the facility here and how big and what kind of technical stuff? And then just design it that way. And then you take a look, it gets costed out. You take a look at that number and you go, that ain't that $14 million number. That is not. You have any idea how maddening that is? And to sit in meetings and just it is not a happy thing, let me tell you. It is very, very difficult. But it was a spiritual journey where we as a church said, Where you go, God, if you, wherever you are guiding us, we will trust that you will provide. Hudson Taylor was a guy who had a big impact on starting local churches in China. And here's what he said. He said, God's will, done God's way, never lacks God's supply. There certainly are seasons in every organization where God wants to uniquely spiritual form that organization. And one of the ways he uniquely forms you is by not giving you a lot of resources, because you learn different stuff in that way. We haven't had that happen to us yet. We may someday, probably will. But in the meantime, we're enjoying the fact of the reality of God's will done God's way never lacks God's supply, because where God guides, God provides. And this is true in the church. It's true in your life. True, and you'll never say, God, I can't do this because I don't have this. Never do that. Say, God, what would you have me do? And I will trust that you're going to show up in the midst of that. 2 Chronicles 69 talks about this principle. It's an unbelievable principle where it says this about God. It said, the eyes of the Lord go throughout all the land to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You know what this says? It says, when you put yourself up on the table, when you say, God, I want to be where you are, God says, now that's a person I'm going to strengthen. See, the way we think about it, we think of, no, I'm over here, and you strengthen me, God, and you convince me I should get up on the table. That's not the way it works. God doesn't look for people who need him to prove himself to them. He looks for people who will step up and say, I'm afraid. I don't know. God looks throughout the whole, he's looking throughout this whole auditorium right now. He's looking at all the problems and all the pains and all the difficulties in here. He said, who am I going to strengthen? Who, and you know who strengthens? He strengthens he and she whose heart is saying, I am willing to live a God-guided life to put myself on the table. Where God guides, he always provides in every single area of our life. And that is the spiritual tension. We also learned that some are faithful, some have faith, and some are faithful, some have faith, and some, there's a difference between faithfulness and faith. And this is one of the things I personally learned. I tend to be really good on the faithfulness side. I've learned I'm not that good on the faith side. Here's the difference. Faithfulness is when you have to hit your marks every day. Faithfulness, you say, okay, today I got to do this, and tomorrow I go dan, I got to do dan. Faithfulness, you just show up day in, day out, and you hit your marks. Faith is, irrespective of what I do, I have this trust that God is going to show up. The Bible defines it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:8. It says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. What I faithfully execute against will go away. But what God can do that I can't see, that will always last, and that is faith. It's faith. And I learned this actually through this little lady right here. This is a picture of my wife. Someone snapped this picture of her. She sit in the front row of Cintas last week, and just sitting there smiling like a butcher's dog. She's smiling, and I just kind of snapped a picture. She is not a butcher's dog, but smiling like a butcher's dog. And people are going all nuts all the way around her. And someone gave me a picture. I've had that on my desk because I've learned faith in large part from her. Because she's just had this expectancy of, hey, you know, it's all good. It's all good. God's showing up. And her level of faith amazes me. In fact, I just kind of thought right now, I remember we first moved into this place. And did move in. I came back from my summer study break. There was metal studs all over the place. And I kind of walked in here and I was like, ugh. I was completely stressed. I wasn't happy I was stressed because all I saw was responsibility. So all these metal studs a couple years ago. And I remember her. She looked, she said, it's too small. I was like, shut up. Shut up. She has just had this unbelievable faith. And other people in this place have had unbelievable faith. If you went to one of the personal contact meetings, your experience from the first contact meeting, if you went the first one, versus the last one, the 31st one, did 31 of those things. It was like Groundhog Day. Kept doing those things. I kept expecting someone to come up and say, Ned Ryerson! You know, I did 31 of those things over and over again. And by the way, I loved every one of them. Every one of them was fun. It really was. The question, I loved every single one of them. One thing I said in every single one was, I said, you can't hold us to anything we say. Because we're being real. We're not padding numbers. We're not giving spin. We're a real place. Real place. So we're giving you the real stuff. And as it changes, then we'll tell you the real stuff as it changes. And stuff that was said the first week was different than stuff that was said on the 31st week. First one was different from the 31st one. One of the things that was changed was some of the things that I was saying. If you were there the first couple ones, you remember that we put up on the slide and we had all the South Africa, crazychurch.com, you know, City of Cincinnati, you know, 3500 Madison, our building. We had this big number up there. And you remember at the end of that, the tally of that, I was basically what I was saying was, that's a big number, isn't it? Yeah. How are we going to do that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be hard. We'll have to see. It'll be hard. That's kind of what I did first couple ones. Then about the 10th one, this guy, Nate, the fireman, he volunteers in the audio stuff. He was there and he grabbed me right before I got in my car in the parking lot that night. And he kind of pulled me aside and said, hey, you know what? He basically said, I didn't like how you talked about that number and what God was going to do. He said, God is going to show up in this thing. If this is what God wants, he's going to show up and you need to get over that and just stop it. Is what he said. I'm like, wait a minute. You're the fire guy. I'm the pastor. I mean, you go do fires. You're not supposed to be doing. But he was dead on right. He completely spanked me. That's what the Bible would call a rebuke. Really. Very healthy. Here's the way Proverbs talks about it. It says this. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. And he was dead on right. It's one of the things that I have been weak in. And him doing that to me out of his faith was a huge, huge thing. And some of us in here, we have grown because God has done something to miss our faithfulness. Some of us have grown because done something to miss our faith. And some of us are sitting here right now, and you're not understanding anything I'm saying. And I'm sorry about that. You still could jump in and be a part of this some way, but you decided to not be faithful. You decided not to have faith. And you're not sensing the strength of God. And that can still happen. It's an awesome thing when it happens. But some just, for whatever reason, sat this one out. But we just learned that God is doing different things in different people. And that God uses everything for spiritual growth. God uses everything for spiritual growth. One of the things that he gave us were all of these incredible stories of how people grew in the midst of this spiritual journey. One came in last week. Person emailed me and she said I could share this email. Let me read this. Actually, she starts off talking about what she did with the money that her and her husband got in fortune cookies. We did like $60,000 worth of fortune or money in fortune cookies, cash, to go out and be a blessing to the community. And here's what she starts off. She said, we received a combined total of $15. I unfortunately didn't pray about what to do with it. I just knew that I wanted it to go to a family that was at Children's Hospital. She wanted to put a lot of restrictions on what they could do with it and how it was used. But then she goes on and says this. Finally, I just realized that I was trying to have too much control over it. I released it and said that God was going to make sure that it went to the right place. Before I talk about this next part, an unfortunate, tragic thing that happened in their journey is, I think it was probably the week after the campaign kickoff in February. It was right around there, their 13-month-old daughter died. And so she continues and says, the following week, we received the bill for Journey, that's her daughter's name, received the bill for Journey's hospital stay. It was a huge blow to me. It was $55,000. I was so upset. I thought that that much money should have been able to save her. I called the insurance company to sort it all out, and they said that the check had been sent. Then I called the hospital, and they said they had received the check, and the only balance due was $277. I was relieved and overwhelmed and emotional and was crying, and the woman asked if I was crying because of this bill. I told her no, it's because all of this was for my daughter, and she ended up dying. She said, bless your heart, we're just going to write that off. You don't have to worry about it. It took me a full day to realize that that was our blessing back from giving the money and releasing the hold I was trying to have on it. I decided to call the chaplain's office to find out what had happened with the money, and they hadn't needed it yet. I thought, well, maybe that's the blessing that God is providing for others in the midst of this. So on Tuesday, I stopped into the chaplain's office to pick up some information. And the woman there recognized me and asked if we had heard what they did with the money. She told me that a family came in from West Virginia because their 15-year-old son had some serious gastro problems. They were very poor, and on the day that they were leaving to go home, the chaplain's office learned that they didn't even have any gas money to get back home. Our $15 went to them, and the social services department matched it, and it ended up doubling in its blessing to someone. Last is this. Sorry, I didn't mean for this to be so long. And I'm glad that she did go this long. Very helpful for us. I emailed you about my trepidation about the building campaign and getting involved. I told you that I didn't feel willing to go on the journey or do the work. And you told me that maybe God had something else for me to learn and that he was just using money as the tool. I let that sit for a while. Then I was talking to a friend about it and how I was willing to let Jim, it's her husband, let Jim do all the work and just agree what he wanted to do. She said, okay, but you're really going to have to live with whatever he decides. So I let that sit for a while. Jim asked me to pray, and you told me to pray, so I prayed. And in the midst of my prayer, I didn't feel called to come up with a number or do the prayer journal or volunteer. What I felt called to do was to submit to my husband and to my marriage. This was a very big deal for me. I have a lot of trouble with submission. It's an icky word with modern-day icky baggage. I don't submit to my husband. I am aggressive and find it easier just to take charge and do things. So for God to be saying this to me could only be coming from God, because it is not in my nature to just throw this out there. When I told him about it, I told him that I felt that this meant we had to be willing to take more of a leadership. He had to be willing to take more of a leadership role in our family. He said that he felt that is what God was calling him to do. I was really blown away by the way God was working in each of our lives and hearts in such compatible ways. One couldn't do what they were called to do without the cooperation and willingness of the other to do what they were called to do. Wow. So we made our commitment on the night of the leadership event, and I'm still in sticker shock. Jim's number was over double my original thoughts, but I supported him and am committed to making that possible. I'm excited about the way this will turn our lives upside down, inside out. I'm nervous about all the changes that have to happen in us to free ourselves of this money. And I'm interested to see what other opportunities show up to test us in this new role we've taken on with each other and within our family. Man. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. The spiritual formation tool. God has us in his hands. I talked to a friend of mine who said, man, Brian, I put all the stuff on the table. I did surrender. But one of the things I never expected God to take was my boyfriend. She lost her. He didn't die. But I lost an awesome boyfriend. Grew in terms of understanding how God wanted dating relationships to work. I talked with a guy mentioned just this morning. He said, Brian, I was a military brat growing up. Just shipped all over the place. And I happened to be a greeter at the celebration event. He said, I started welcoming people. I counted that I knew 175 names. He said, I've never known 175 people ever in my life. And he said, that's one of the things I think God has grown me in the midst of this. Some of us grew in our ability to offer patience and grace to people. You know, we put this big push on saying, hey, we need volunteers. And some of us didn't have the greatest experience as a volunteer. We didn't get followed up on, or you didn't get followed up on as quickly as you thought you could or should have been. You signed up for a team that was full. You couldn't get on that. Or you did get on a team, and the people on the team annoyed you. You know, and what happened was you were able to grow in grace and patience. Because what happens is Crossroads is not about this phantom staff that's kind of making everything happen. Our staff is half the ratio of other churches. If you take a look at how many people come, the staff, we're half. We're not a, you know, staff is not making everything happen. This is a volunteer intensive organization. And so we learn to say, man, I just need to give grace and patience to everybody who I'm serving with. Because we are all a part of this. And all of these things, we can go on and on and on and on and on about things. You know, Libby and I, I never expected closure to old wounds in our marriage. I've talked about this before. I'm not going to talk about it again right now. But we just had some stuff happen last campaign that was very, very rough. I never expected on the floor right in front of this chair here, I never expected the end of that event last week to actually hug and embrace and weep together and pray together on the floor there and recognizing that God gave us something we never expected he would give us. And that was closure and finality, because we needed another campaign exactly we had before to actually give true closure and finality. What happened? I never expected. God grew us in that. Amazing. Amazing stuff. And all of us could talk about that, because no matter what's going on in your life, God can use it to grow us. Sixth thing that God gave us is the understanding. For me, it came from these things. Here. Bam bams. Bam bams. Bam, 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 bam. Bam bams. How many of you know that's from Flintstones? So, you know. So that's so weird. Why do you do that? Because I like to. That's why I do that. So anyway, these bam bams. You know, my favorite thing last week was actually turning around and seeing 10,000 of these suckers, 5,000 pairs going, you know, just bam, just people just going nuts. I was completely and totally blown away by it. And you know what struck my mind? It struck my mind. This is the power of the local church. This is what the local church was designed to do. Only the local church is an organization that is designed to mobilize groups of people towards a vision and go and have an actual impact on the world. And that can only happen like that in the context of a local church. There's no other organization that can happen in. And we saw this last week. We've seen this in the midst of our campaign. What happens when there is a unified vision of people coming together and saying, yes, I am a part of this. I want to make a difference on this world and grow in my love and understanding of God. And when local churches work this way, there is nothing greater on God's green earth. Nothing. One of my favorite passages in Scripture was when people would take a look at the local church, the early local church, and how powerful it was, and the crazy things that were happening. It says this, everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done. People would take a look at this community of people who are together to have an impact and grow in their relationship with Christ, and these crazy, miraculous things that happen, and people just look and say, wow. Wow. How did that happen? How did that change in you? Wow. People were regularly filled with awe. People should always look at a local church, and it should be run, led, and served, and loved in such a way by people there that God does the crazy through other people, through His hands, in Him, people living and moving and having their being. People being filled with awe. Cintas employees were filled with awe last week. They were. For those of you who were volunteering at that event, you know what I'm talking about. They were just filled with awe. In fact, the guy who is the director of the Cintas Center said, man, we work with a lot of people. First of all, they were filled with awe that a church would want to rent the place out to begin with. They were filled with awe for that. Secondly, they were filled with awe just at the volunteers. They said, we have never been around people as passionate as this. They said, never. All the events we do, we have never, ever, ever seen people as passionate as this. This is very strange. Somebody told me they overheard a conversation between two Cintas employees. It was a supervisor and one of the employees. And the supervisor said, it was right before the service started, said, look, just give them one of two answers, one-word answers. Just say to them yes or no. And the employee said, but they don't listen to no. That's what I said. there goes my favorite thing. I mean, people were just completely, completely, totally fired up. And this is what we've seen. We've seen the change and the impact of what the local church can have. And we got to be very clear about that. We continue from this point on. As we have, we are here to connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. We're not here to play church. We're not here to have everyone's spiritual happy flower time. We're not here for people to come here and just kind of argue about what they want to have happen in a worship service or in a service or why isn't this. We're not here to kind of band everybody together who has the exact same morality code. That's not what we're here about. We're here about connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. And the day we stop getting off that is the day that God's power is not manifest in this place. And when it operates properly, when churches do that, people sit back and they're filled with awe, wonder. A lot of us have been like this before. This is the hands of God on our life. And a lot of people think that this is the way that God operates. He just sort of holds us. In fact, I had someone, people say, Isn't just God and the church supposed to be about serenity? Isn't this just peace and serenity? No. No, definitely not. Does God do this? Just hold you? Yes, He does. And when He holds you, this is a time that's very warm, and it's a time that's very rare. Because He only does this as a precursor to what He primarily does, which is this. What God does when He gets involved in your life, when He starts blessing you, when He starts strengthening you, when you get in His hands, He starts forming you and molding you. He doesn't just hold you, He molds you. And this is what God's been doing with our church. That's what He's been doing with you over this journey. And God does it, He does stuff like this, He goes, I don't like that. That comes off. And He says, oh, I need to squeeze that out right there. That needs to be smoothed right there. And now, no. He does all these things. And if you fight it, you'll miss out. He does all these things. And if you don't think that God does these things and you're not in His hands, He does all of these things. You know what's amazing about this? And I want to invite the band out because they're going to lead us in the exercise here. You know what's amazing about this? Is that His hands are big enough for every single person in this place to be in His hands. His hands are big enough for every single church to be in His hands. His hands are caring and knowledgeable enough to do to us exactly what we need done to us, even if we think that we don't want that and we would never do that. And what is amazing, what is utterly amazing, is that He cares and will take us on spiritual journeys for the purpose of our formation. I believe the core of my being, that if we said 4 months ago, what's the greatest thing we can do for our church's health? What's the greatest thing we can do for everybody coming closer to Christ? We just did it. Hard? Yes. Difficult? Yes. Agonizing sometime? Yes. Healthy? Have we changed? No question. And what's amazing is He cares enough to do that. You know what's really wild about this is I just had this kind of Play-Doh on my hands, and it's just, you just keep kind of doing this just because it's in your hands, you know? And I think that's somewhat similar to what God does. He just enjoys forming us. He just enjoys that. You know what else is the more I've done this Play-Doh, the softer it's gotten. That's what it's like with God. The longer that you are in His hands, the softer, more pliable, you're more moldable, and more usable you get. Let's commit as a church to stay soft before God. God, thank You for today and for every life in here and what You're doing in our lives. I pray that You continue to use us, and we would continue to be on the table, be used in any way You see fit. And thank You for the way You've blessed our church, and just the blessing of being included in Your work. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay, friends, we'll see you later. Have a great day.